So just finding your seat on the cushion on the chair. Breathing into that contact point between body and earth. Just being mindful of this body breathing. The simplicity of the practice. The body sitting, breathing, experiencing, simply noticing what's present in this moment. Just taking a moment to reflect on the contrast between sitting on the cushion, on the chair with the eyes closed, and the practice we've just done. Sharing deep emotions, reflecting on the power of this extended pause to settle the mind, to settle the body. To bring some balance to the energy. Maybe to touch into the joy and the tranquility factors. As the mind and the body begin to settle, opening to all those other beings in our lives, human, non-human, all the life that we share this planet with, the trees and the grass and the flowers, the multi-cell and single cell. Each of the trillions of cells that go up to make this body we call my body. Opening to the boundlessness of the mind. To can open to the experience of a single particle. And open to the entirety of the universe. Opening to the sharing of mind. When we sit in relational practice, that minds connect. Or perhaps we connect to a bigger mind. Pausing, relaxing, opening, attuning to what's emerging in this moment, listening deeply, experiencing the truth of this moment, and this moment, and this moment. The ever-shifting flow of experience. Just a few more deep breaths. I'd like to talk in this last session about practical things. We can't live our lives in a Dharma hall. So we need to be able to take what we experience here out into the world and make it part of our lives. And when we can do that, we can really experience the power of the practice. The ability to be present to another, something that you've all had the opportunity of experiencing today and last night, that mindful connection, that quality of presence. Is so huge and so powerful, it's almost beyond comprehension. It makes what we so often find a struggle easy. In caring for Annie for so many years, caring for Annie for the 2 years of COVID when there was just me and Annie, and it wasn't work. There was energy to do it. It was a joy. It was a joy because we had each other and we also had the support of friends, the support of this practice. We made a very conscious effort to share the experience with others. When Annie applied for MAID, medical assistance in dying, and was accepted, there was a moment when we said, should we share this? Because we knew that it would upset some of our friends. And it didn't take us very long to say, yes, we have to share this. And so we each in our different ways shared it with the people that we came into contact with. It became a topic of contemplations for a couple of the Insight Dialogue groups that I facilitate. And in that sharing, there was ease.
there was a sharing of the dukkha, a recognition that something was being held and the possibility of release. When we cling to that dead baby, when we carry that dead baby, we hold the suffering tightly. We become attached to it. It becomes a burden. When we can release that attachment, when we can share with others, there is release. There is ease. So often we hide from death and we hide death away from others. And we carry it with us. All the grief and the suffering that attaches to it. And when we share it, it is so easy. I hope today some of you have managed to at least touch that. So old age, sickness and death, we can prepare for. We can talk about it. We can make it ordinary. One of the relational things between Annie and I, related to the special. I grew up in England, and in England, there's a tradition that you have, the special dinner service and the special cutlery that you use on special occasions. It gets brought out at weddings and funerals and Christmas. And Annie was a Chicago girl whose philosophy was, you got it, use it. And I'm reflecting back after Annie died, at looking at the silver cutlery in the drawer, that we really didn't get to enjoy together all that much. Yeah, we did use it perhaps more than I would have used it on my own. But how many things in life do we hold like that? Do we hold special? That we don't bring out and share? Yeah, just smiling at the arguments we used to get into. But that sharing of the sickness, the old age, and the death brought such ease. It brings ease now, the coming here, the sharing it with you. It brings joy. When I reflected tears and laughter before, just noticing how often those two go together. When we attend funerals or memorial services, the funeral where everything is very solemn in the church, and then we gather afterwards, and there's laughter, sharing of stories of the departed. And that's important, finding those places that allow us that release and finding them before it's too late, finding them when we can still use them share them. So in this next contemplation, we're going to go back to the same partners. And we're not going to have separate speaker-listener. We're going to have open dialogue. And we will have a long contemplation. We'll have maybe 40, 45 minutes to share what has been experienced today, what has been experienced last night, to explore the support of the six guidelines in this investigation on death and the deathless. To share the emotions that have been touched. To share how we could possibly use what has been experienced here, how we can take it into our daily life. Around sickness and dying, yes. But around life in general. I do introductions to insight dialogue quite regularly. And it blows me away that in the first 15-minute dyad, the first experience investigating pause, people get such insight. I can pause. When you've been doing it a while, it becomes the way it happens, the way it works. But when you first step into that dyad and realize that, yeah, I don't have to wait until I'm in the Dharma hall to pause. I can do it at any moment. Doesn't have to be a long pause, it can be a short pause. It can be a whole minute, it can be a whole hour. Just that conscious effort, that little bit of effort, just to take the moment, take the time to pause. And in that pause, allow mindfulness to be present. Not difficult. So we'll be returning to the partners we had before the break. And I'm sorry, I did say that the role of speaker and listener would rotate, but then I decided we do open dialogue. So perhaps the first person to share can be the listener from the last experience. You win some, you lose some.